Good afternoon. Joining me today is, I think, at least one of the co-authors on this talk, Sarah Schwankel, my colleague with Health Teamworks. I'm looking for my colleague from the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, Linda Archer, and I don't yet see her, but welcome all. It's nice to have all of you here. I do not have any conflict of interests to disclaim this afternoon. No relationships to disclose there. When we talk about pulling together a guideline on preconception and interconception care, one of our great colleagues and the co-chair of the committee that helped us pull this together, Anna Kelly, would say that she really believes all of the stars aligned to make this happen. And if we were to identify what those stars are, they would be having a champion, funding, national evidence, and a process to move forward on the work. The champion in the case of this particular guideline was a nonprofit organization called Healthy Women, Healthy Babies. The funding was provided to us by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Evidence for this came from the American Journal of OBGYN and that supplement that came out in December of 2008. And the process is something that has been honed by our organization and many talented people and volunteers over time. Health Teamworks, which was formerly known as the Colorado Clinical Guidelines Collaborative, is a unique organization in that we bring together many stakeholders interested in health around the state and now beyond the state of Colorado. And it includes providers, hospitals, payers, quality improvement organizations, employers, and others working together. The guiding principles in putting together the products and the guidelines that we do are that our target audience is always primary care providers. And our challenge, and we've been able to stick to it so far over the 17 guidelines that we've produced over time, is that the format is a one-page back-to-back guideline. And I did bring some of our preconception care with me today, if you'd like one or some before you leave. We do have criteria that we stick to. There needs to be a demonstrated burden of disease, adequate evidence that exists for our work, always at the federal level, always rated and weighted. Our organization does not do our own research. We don't rate the evidence ourselves. We look to other organizations to do that at the national level. There needs to be a demonstrated need by primary care practitioners that the guideline and the content would make a difference in practice. And there needs to be availability of resources, i.e. funding. So if we look at where we go for evidence for our various guidelines, it's often from a voluntary health organization. For a diabetes guideline, it might be the American Diabetes Association. We also look to federal agencies, U.S. Preventive Services Task Force for some of our preventive guidelines work, National Institutes of Health, published research, and more. The process for our guidelines, and I'll try to accelerate my talk so I don't spend all 10 minutes on this. We have it down to a 13-point process, and it starts out with convening a committee of dedicated volunteers made up of primary care providers, specialists, researchers, agency directors, and others that are interested in the topic that we're looking at. We select a committee chair by consensus that does not have a conflict of interest. We identify the evidence that we're going to use in the content of the guideline. Look for 3 to 5 key issues that we think need to be highlighted in the work and taken out to the providers throughout the state, in this case of Colorado. We start to look at these key pieces of evidence and the content that we want to move forward, and we're fortunate enough to have a graphic designer on our staff, and so she is constantly working on drafts that go with us throughout the project. We literally start out with a blank page, and form follows function, and we start layering the content for the guideline itself. When we feel like, after several meetings, and this usually plays out over a four-month period, meeting every other week, once we feel like we have a draft that's in pretty good shape, we do convene a focus group of primary care providers to give us a reality check. How close are we, and how useful is this within a primary care setting? We have a system where we obtain feedback at the local, state, and national level, and finally go to our board for approval on the guideline, at which time we acknowledge the funding sources, put the information up on our website, on the internet, and then we disseminate to practices throughout the state of Colorado. For the preconception and interconception care guideline, we distributed to 4,500 practices. And I'll say a little bit more about implementing the guideline into practice in a moment. So you can see that for our preconception care development committee, we had quite a number of practitioners and interested parties involved, quite a number of organizations and a variety of organizations represented. The process, we were given a total of 4 months. We had funding that came with a very tight timeline. So we had quite a bit of work to do. We did get through all the 13 steps in the 4 months that we were provided. The guideline itself on the first page is focused on screening, as to be used in screening, and over on the left-hand column you'll see that the factors are organized by effectiveness, and then the column over to the more to the right, the recommendations actually have questions that the providers can ask in moving the conversations forward during the visit or visits. The back page is concerned with comorbidities and chronic conditions that exist with some of the patients. And then way over to the right, you'll see a column on contraception. We tried to match contraception methods that we thought were particularly effective with that particular chronic disease. And then toward the very bottom, we tried to highlight more contraceptive methods. In terms of taking the actual work, that is the education, and bridging that gap into embedding the guideline content into practice, we have a number of ways and programs that actually put us into private practice around the state. The first that I wanted to mention we call rapid improvement activities, and that's where we go into a practice for only an hour in length, usually over breakfast or lunch, and we involve the entire practice team from front desk on through the back. We review the content of the particular guideline that we're focusing on, and then spend the majority of time brainstorming with the staff on ways that they feel that they can embed this work into their practice. It might be changing roles and responsibilities. It might be a new way for the flow of work to happen in the practice, maybe looking at electronic medical records, for example. We have not received funding at this time to do rapid improvement activities on our preconception guideline, although if we look at the work that we did with 69 practices in Colorado on another guideline. This was the one on tobacco and secondhand smoke. We found that in the 69 practices, after a three-month follow-up, 72% of the practices were still working with those goals that they had set out and were pursuing those goals within the practice. We're also fortunate at Health Teamworks to have some funding from the federal level, and we are in practices including work with patient-centered medical home in Colorado. Our organization is the convening organization for PCMH, so we have the opportunity to go in to practices for up to a year. We have the relationship and can start to embed content along the way. And then we're also fortunate, and this funding is relatively new, to have funding through meaningful use, the federal stimulus dollars, so that we can actually have our technicians and coaches go into practices and assess, what technology is needed in order to qualify for the federal stimulus dollars there. Looks like I've made it with that 10-minute mark. I wanted to leave you with a slide of our Colorado landscape and our Colorado heritage. This is a slide of Long's Peak, one of Colorado's 14ers. And according to some Native American legend, if you use your imagination, you start to see the outline of a woman's face, her breasts, and her pregnant belly. And as you're traveling on the plains for up to 100 miles, you can see this image. Thank you for your interest and for being here.